Hello, Lance.
Hey Bruce, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
What time zone are you in, Lance?
I'm on the east coast of the US, so Eastern time.
Cool.
How about
Well,
you?
it's mountain time.
Okay. A little early for
Yeah, a little bit.
you.
Yeah, I overslept last week and only caught the last half of the meeting.
Okay. Yeah, good to have you.
Thank you. I've invited three students to join the meeting, but their eyes rolled when they heard the time.
Are you a teacher?
No, I work with Phil Windley, who is supervising a capstone project,
Oh, okay.
and I'm helping out with some technical expertise.
Great.
And part of
Where?
that is attending this meeting, and
Good, good. What the students are where?
in at Brigham Young University in
Okay.
Provo,
Yeah.
Utah.
Great. Very good. It's amazing how many SSI people are from the Utah area.
Evernim, I think started it off to a great extent.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there were precursors to that. That was the first group that shared it with me.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
And then Phil Windley, of course, organized the Sovereign Foundation.
Right. Great.
And some of the students he hired, many of them are working in the industry. There are some working at Indicio. A couple of them founded Trinzic.
Right. Okay. Yeah, those connections all make sense then.
Hello, good morning.
Hey,
Good morning.
Hakan, how are you?
Ah, very good. How are you?
Great.
Yeah, just making myself a coffee, but yeah, we can talk with the wireless headset. That sounds good.
Okay, good. I'm
That's nice.
just setting up our page here. I guess I can share my screen.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
Hello.
Rhoda. We'll be getting started in about 1 minute.
Right.
Just trying to clean up all my screens here. 1 second. Good. And then now that I'm sharing, I have lost my other view. Come on. Chat. Okay, so let's just publish this for now so we can everybody can. Okay, welcome to our Aries DIDCOM V2 working group for December 12th, 2022. Good to have everybody. We'll go through some updates here. I just created the page, so yeah, we'll just edit it as we go. Feel free to, well, I should remind everybody about the antitrust policy for Hyperledger and the code of conduct for Hyperledger. Please, if you'd like to, add yourself to the attendees list for today's meeting. I think, yep. I left some from last week that are here, and yep, that's the four of us. Good. Okay. So let's see, on my end, just doing updates real quick. We'll go around. Actually, maybe Bruce, would you like to introduce yourself? I think maybe everybody's knows you, but yeah, maybe go for it.
Thank you, Lance. If I've met Rodo and Hakan. I work at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, and my interest in this working group is that I'm assisting Phil Windley, who has three students implementing DIDCOM V2 using his Pico system.
So quick question on that. Is it being implemented on some Aries framework or another? Or another software?
It's another software. Phil Windley invented something he calls Picos, which are supported by a Pico engine implemented in Node.js. And the students are using the Rust library of SIGPA to bring that up in the Pico world.
All right. That's cool. IoT devices, right?
Picos came out of the IoT world, but they have broader usage than that. They can be used to implement websites and each Pico can be an agent. We already have Aries agents running DIDCOM V1 up to and including making connections and exchanging basic messages.
Great. Yeah, I always miss the sessions on the IIW. Regarding the Picos, that's fantastic.
yeah, there's way too much going on at IAW. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
All right, great. Yeah, glad to have you, Bruce. And it was cool to meet you at IAW.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Okay. Let's see, updates on my end. I don't think I did much for this group over the last week. I did read through the document that Hakan had shared. Let's see, we have it here.
There's a HackMD from Sam that may be interesting to review today.
Yes. Good point. Right. So that was one of the nice things from this past week. The AIP 3.0 movement is alive and well. I'm just going to search for the links that I had for that. It seems like AIP 3.0 is going to be a real thing. It's going to be DIDCOM V2 focused. I would say that's maybe the most important thing that happened over the last week. But yeah, you guys go ahead and fill in some details and I'll find some links. Thanks.
Got it. Open them.
Okay.
Oh, this is great. This is from Sam Curran. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, on the last meeting, Aries meeting last week, he raised that topic. So he, on the meeting, he opened up this document and he filled it on the fly. So, but it's something that we need to be completed. It just was the file that he filled in on during the meeting.
Yeah, this was really cool. It's so great to have Sam helping with the effort. He basically, what we kind of discussed was that I was concerned that, okay, AIP 1.0 was you know, had its scope, and then maybe AIP 2.0 that scope expanded, and I was worried, are we at a point where AIP 3.0 might be just too large to be kind of a Aries-wide interop profile? Maybe, you know, I suggested maybe we should call it like AIP DIDCOM V2, even though personally I would love to see AIP 3.0 be, you know, the DIDCOM V2 interop profile. And basically Sam and others basically noted, well, maybe the scope of the AIP actually shrinks by making it DIDCOM V2 specific. And it seems that the momentum in the other agents, you know, the work that Hakan and his group's doing for Akapai, and the pull request that's going through for AFJ right now, going through review, and that the SICPA guys are working on actively, that seems to be enough momentum across Aries that, yeah, AIP 3.0 with a DIDCOM V2 focus would be quite beneficial to the community. So that was a really great talk. And basically, Sam started to produce this table in order to basically show how DIDCOM V2 spec begins to replace a bunch of the RFCs from previous interop profiles, and thus, you know, maybe the list is not as not as large as I would feared. So any thoughts on that stuff?
He actually copy paste the AIP2 and start removing roles, and that's how he did. And the other main point here is that even in AIP2 there are some RFCs that are optional, so like the mediator and that stand on the bottom. So we can do the same, like put extra thing as optional, so you can comply with AIP 3, but not with some, only in some part, maybe the main part. But if you are a mediator, you can comply also with the mediator part.
Yeah, and I love that. What do you guys think about having kind of this optional list that people can borrow from depending on you know, their requirements?
Sorry, I was commenting right now. What do you mean with the optional list?
I think the concept is instead of making it seem that, oh, you know, if you want to be AIP 3.0 compliant, you know, here is the super list, right, of everything you could implement, right? One of my one of the lessons learned, it seems to me, from the JFF exercise was that when people start jumping into DIDCOM V2, it can be pretty overwhelming to know what is it that I absolutely have to implement and what can we kind of work towards over time. Granted, you know, it's a spec and, you know, we all want to fully comply with the spec, but, you know, there's some kind of minimal things that you could put. And so Sam was pointing out that even maybe in AIP 2.0, they had a concept of some optional pieces. And mm-hmm. So maybe you don't want to implement mediation right off the bat, because maybe you're not doing mobile, you know, development, and you don't need a mediator. But you know, eventually you would want to adopt that. So I think the concept was, let's try to make a list that's kind of you know, the core things that probably everybody's going to need, and then have some optional things that people can pick and choose from. For instance, if they want indie-based credentials.
Yeah,
and those were already on AIP2. So, but I didn't know that it was like optional. So, and they put like this name: mediate, IndieCred, LDCred, and that is optional. So that's something new for me too. So it's good.
Yeah, I like it. Other thoughts?
Yeah, and one thing that go ahead.
I'm sorry, Rilo. It's very important to our project because it's a very short-term project, and we're not even going to get all of the base requirements done.
Yeah, Yeah, that's again, the JFF thing, you know, it was this exercise and, you know, they get funding and, you know, so, okay, a bunch of people jumped in. And yeah, same thing. It's supposed to be this short term turnaround of, okay, let's show this credential exchange. What's it called? Open badge or something like that. Credential exchange. And yeah, they have a limited amount of time, limited amount of resources. And so they're not going to be able to implement everything for DidCom V2. And they kind of went through Wacky and Wacky DidCom for credential exchange. And they basically, even that, they chose a subset to implement between themselves so that they could, you know, show trading these credentials or transferring these credentials to one another. So I think that concept should be very important, and I'd love to kind of capture kind of the core path of a DidCom V2 implementation versus kind of all the other things that a person might support or DidCom V2 implementation might support.
Yes, that sounds very interesting. Can you provide a link to the JFF work of some kind?
Yeah, so in this this spreadsheet that I'm trying to build, I have a references tab, and so I put the JFF notes here. There's a link to that. I'm not
perfect.
Sure.
Thank you very much. I have that.
Okay, good. Yeah, great.
Thanks, Hans.
I guess my disclaimer again for the spreadsheet is I'm trying to build it to help the community, but we can document things however we want. I would just like there to be a place that's useful for us to kind of collect this information as we go. So we have, you know, a list of implementations, a list of DID methods that are essentially supported by those implementations. And, you know, probably you want to support DID peer, right? But these kinds of things to help interop between all these new users, essentially, of DidCom V2. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, just want to mention that one thing that Sams did in that list is removing some protocols. And they start removing the protocols that are already inside the DidCom V2 specification, like the out-of-band, I think the trust ping and the routing protocol and the discover feature. So those four were removed from the list, but are on the, because they are on the spec that is the first row. So I think in the notes we need to put that this spec also include those protocol.
Yeah.
And the other one really important for Hakan, and that is something that we need to really talk about, is he removed the exchange protocol, because some say, okay, this is not actually really needed in terms of AIP because it's more internal on each framework, I think. So, but anyway, and the other thing that Sam mentioned is, or we agree to, maybe we should write an RFP. It's not going to be like a protocol, but more kind of like a reference or a discussion on how we should implement those kind of stuff. Like you always was talking about the connection, right? How you establish a connection. And even though DidCom V2 can start the connection with just a simple message, by receiving a simple message on the frameworks, you need to handle that, right? And this is something that we need to agree on how should be done.
And so do we see that as part of the RFC for DidCom V1 and DidCom V2? Transition from DidCom V1 to DidCom V2, or do you see that as
maybe not for the transition, like a general way of how should a connection have to be established, right? You just receive a message and that's a connection or not? Yes. Do you need something extra like replying to that message, and that's the end of the establishing a connection. That's the thing I think it needs to be resolved, because the exchange resolved that, right? And that way is not so clear how we should handle it.
Hey guys, sorry I joined late a little bit. I was stuck on my code and I forgot about the meeting. But yeah, I guess Rodo, you said that we should try to figure out a way to generalize connection. I don't think we should try to do it at the group level. In my opinion, like that kind of depends on like a message per message level. From that perspective, and I think that like each like wallet implementer should try to figure out a way of like how to handle messages, like have like a message handler class, since like Bitcoin V2 to me seems more like it's a one-way protocol. Like it doesn't like really support like sessions. I mean, it does have the concept of threads, so like you can kind of like use a thread ID as like a connection ID concept. Do you guys think this is like a good, like, I mean, I agree that everybody is going to have to use the concept of connections. I'm not sure we should standardize it outside of Bitcoin, I guess. What do you guys think?
Don't know, jump on it.
I agree. Don't standardize, but maybe a reference, because it's a native issue, and agree on. Because if you receive a message, you're okay. You can now establish a connection, but the other party is still not, because the other party.
Right. Yeah, the other party know that you received the message, right? Correct. Like.
Yeah.
Like the other party doesn't even know that, like whether you read the message or not. So
yeah.
I think Bitcoin itself is designed in such a way that it's purposely done that way, to not have like a pairwise, pairwise connection. But I guess I'm trying to figure out what are we trying to do with AIP3, and to me it sounds like we're trying to figure out like a basic set of protocols that allows to have some minimum communication between two DIDCOM agents. I guess since it doesn't have to do much with Aries, like in my mind, it makes sense to call like a basic DIDCOM profile. I guess from that perspective, it does make sense to standardize connections if we look at it that way. So, okay, yeah.
But I know that Hankan was working really hard on that on the AKAPI, so, and that's
an issue. Right. Like, I guess like I'm saying, like the way AKAPI will handle connections will be slightly different than AFJ will handle connection, or do they handle connection the same way right now?
Well, that doesn't matter how they handle it, but how the flow will work, maybe to acknowledge a connection somehow.
I see.
If you send a message, you because maybe you send a message to an out of band, from an out of band, and then you need to receive a replay back to make sure that both parties now are talking. We have an agreed connection between two. You may or may not need that, but anyway, I think that's
establish like a handshake, like okay, hey, I have this. Yeah, I think like we need to figure out like a connection handshake protocol. Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead, Hakan.
No, yeah, I totally agree with the handshake protocol, because this is, I think, mentioned in DIDCOM as well. It could be like an out of band or like a DID exchange, I think, in terms of handshake protocol for Aries. Frameworks, at least.
Yeah, like definitely. I think we should figure out a way, like agent, like discover themselves, like between one another, and like I think that's the protocol, like connection, like agent discovery, like that's similar. That's kind of like what I'm thinking, yeah, as well.
And that can be an RFP, a new RFP, because we have this exchange for DidCombi 1, and that can be really, really simple for DidCombi 2.
Okay, interesting. Alex, just so you're aware, Conrad, I'm sorry, Bruce, is in here. He is working with students in Utah who are doing like a minimal implementation of DidCombi V2. They have a fairly narrow window to work on it. And I told him that has similarities to kind of the JFF stuff that you have been working on with Brian and others, and so he's got the link to the JFF document that you guys have, but I still think maybe the transfer of information between his group and your group for how to kind of get up and running, I would just love for that to be reflected somewhere. The kind of pain points that you guys went through, or what's the quickest path to transferring credentials and inspired by Wacky, but maybe not fully implementing Wacky and not fully implementing DidCombi V2. So I just wanted to make you aware of his work, and I think you guys can benefit from each other maybe.
Hey Bruce, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Alex. Yes, that would be great. In fact, our students aren't even going to go so far as exchanging verifiable credentials. Their work will be done when they've managed to connect two Picos using DidCombi 2.
Okay, got it. So, so you guys trying to implement your own like DidCombi libraries from scratch?
Starting with SICPA for the crypto.
Well, I think the Pico is gonna be they're gonna have an endpoint, or they're gonna need a mediator.
Each Pico will be an agent with endpoint.
Okay, good. Okay, maybe that's gonna be in a closed, like in a private network, or just alive on the on the world.
Yes, every Pico when it's created is a cloud agent.
Okay, good.
Yeah, definitely. That's at some time and we can chat.
Yeah, that would be great. If you would send me an email to get started, Alex, that would be fabulous.
Can you show me your email? Can you text me your email and then I can email you back?
It's in the in the meeting notes at the top.
Oh, got it. I'll get it from the link.
Okay, thanks, Alex.
Okay, very good. Benefit from JFF. Okay,
so,
great.
So, Lance, given their goal, I think it would be interesting if the AIP3 was even further subdivided. In the overall diagram for self-sovereign identity, the layered diagram that has verifiable data repositories at level one, and agents connecting at level two, and credential issuance and proof concepts at level three, and governance at level four. So part of being an Aries agent is being able to connect and send messages, starting with basic message and then custom protocols. And that's level two of the diagram I referred to. Sorry, I couldn't find it. I looked for it. Issuing credentials and proof requests and so forth are level two. Yeah, that's the one, our layer three. So I think it would be interesting if AIP3 had a part that's saying for layer two, this is what you need to have. And for layer three, you need to add on these things.
Yes, interesting. And I think, haven't I seen recently a, maybe it was a DIDCOM V2 breakdown of this technology stack, but with DIDCOM V2, does anybody remember that? I feel like in the last, I'll say 3 weeks, maybe month, and maybe it was at IW.
Yeah, I think Drummond Reed, he has like an image where you have layer 2 DIDCOM and layer 3 you have like DIDCOM protocols.
Yes, you're right.
I think that was the only difference that that's kind of like where DIDCOM goes to. And then he was comparing that to like OIDC. It's also like a layer 3 protocol for like exchanging credentials.
Right.
So you're referring to.
Was that an IIW session that I missed? Yeah. I missed most of them.
isn't that the torture of it? Okay, I will try to hunt that down. Yes, give me a moment, and I guess feel free to. Well, what else do we want to talk about? I guess let's do we? Yeah, how did we get to? Let's see. Yeah, we introduced Bruce to Alex. Before that, we were talking about Hakan's work. Yes, and with connections, right?
Regarding that list, Lance, what I'm gonna do is like
this list here.
Updating, the protocols to the version 3, like the issue credential percent proof, that's the WACI, maybe moving to version 3. I'm gonna review the gold code, and please acknowledge. Yeah, some like simple updating to the latest protocol, and maybe that also for the mediator and the one on the bottom. Need to have the latest. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we probably should work on this connection reference or whatever, like another RFP or somehow.
Yeah, is everybody, are we able to, what do we have here? There's notes here. But this is, okay, this is fairly recent. I haven't gone through these notes. So it looks like at the very least people are able to post notes.
Oh, I didn't know that you can put notes in the Hakan meeting. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you can comment on it basically with choose wherever you want to do it and make a right click.
Good.
Okay. Right. So we kind of talked about this.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But I still keep it there to put it at least as a note with the RFCs mentioned, because these are RFCs that are already there on Aries. And since this is like kind of an Aries interoperability profile 3.0, I think it's worth mentioning.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Everybody agrees with that, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, good. All right, cool. Let's see, something you mentioned there, Rodo, regarding the goal codes. Right, we talked about discovery protocol. I think we discussed this last week a little bit. This past week, do some research to better understand ways that DIDCOM V2 agents can discover more about each other than just their application protocols. This concept that, you know, okay, if you're not going to implement every part of DIDCOM, how do you tell another agent that, well, these are the parts of DIDCOM that I've implemented. These are the DID methods that I support. These are the you know, maybe there's some kind of crypto negotiations that you can do, but kind of how do you do that, right? Because, you know, at some point you get to the point, well, how do you even message each other at all or trade information at all? So yeah, that's super fuzzy for me. If anybody spent any time thinking about that, I'd love to hear ideas. But that's something that I still would like to eventually have a good breakdown of, and maybe using the trust over IP model to kind of highlight what can be discovered, or maybe even, you know, what are the nuances? Because this is kind of what this spreadsheet is supposed to be doing, is showing, you know, here are the considerations. We'll just call them considerations for now. The layer one considerations that you need to do DIDCOM, for instance, V2. The layer two considerations, the layer three considerations, and then how do two agents that may not have implemented everything, how do you discover why you couldn't interop?
Yeah, right? But Lance, I post the link to the Discover Feature Protocol inside the DIDCOM.
Oh yes.
So if you go there, yeah, go down a little bit, and there's a message. Yeah. So here you see that the discovery is like a query, and you query by feature type, and you can provide like a matching also if you want. So in this spec, I think they only mention feature type protocol and feature type gold call.
Yeah.
And the type of matching. But you can, it's extensible. So you can include other feature types as your own. You can create one.
Yeah.
Maybe feature type WackyPex or whatever. So
yeah.
For a credential format. And that's, I think, is the way to use the Discover feature.
Yeah. Okay. So and Sam seemed to agree with that as well. When maybe I'm just trying to think of timing. At what point do we want to, as a group, kind of walk through this, you know, read up on it, be aware of it, and then kind of walk through, you know, what could be some initial values that we'd put in here that would be more helpful for two agents essentially discover their ability to have, you know, to complete their DIDCOM operations with one another. Any thoughts on that? Or also, if this seems like something way in the future that we, you know, shouldn't really be tackling now, I'm fine with that as well.
I don't know, but the other day you were mentioning like the wacky pegs that you can, the attachment can be in different formats, like the indie,
yeah,
the div, and the JSON-LD. So I don't know if that can be something valuable to discover.
Yeah, maybe a good starting point. Okay.
I don't know if this is of interest, but even earlier in section 2.1, the media types, the Pico engine went as a web server, which is part of what it does. It doesn't currently accept messages with any of those headers. And so one of the first things the students will have to do is modify it so that it will accept it, will at least accept a message at all.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
And I think if we assume HTTP as the transport, I think HTTP includes queries for that kind of thing, but I don't know for sure. So that might be an initial starting point. You have an endpoint that purports to be an Aries agent. Well, what media types does it support?
You said Aries agent, but did you mean DIDCOM V2 agent or?
Yes, I meant a DIDCOM V2 agent that if it purports to be one, then you could send an HTTP request asking does it support any of these media types? If it doesn't, then we can determine that it's not actually a DIDCOM V2 agent. And if it doesn't support them all, then we at least know where to begin probing.
Yeah.
The problem is that the discover feature is after you're ready.
Yes.
You need to know how to handle
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that comes later. Yeah. That is good. True.
So the Pico is able to receive the message, but not expecting that type of the tip of on the header is if there is a
the Pico engine out of the box just expects HTTP requests with a media type. I think it includes a JSON. So it's very general.
But if you receive that, will fail or will accept the message?
Currently, the way it's written, if it receives a message with one of those media types, it just ignores it.
Okay, it's not the message. Okay. Oh,
yeah, and so that's the first thing the students will be doing, will be to open the Pico engine as a HTTP server to those media types.
Okay, good.
Yeah, in the trust over IP tech stack, I assume DIDCOM V2 enters in only on level 2. Does it interact with level 1 at all?
Not needed, maybe, to resolve like the idea that the public keys are on the VDI.
Okay, only for DID resolution.
I think so.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And which is still a big deal, right? I mean, even in the JFF stuff, Alex was kind of like, oh, you know, they're using a DID web and, you know, this other person was trying to do a DID key and I'm doing a DID peer, right? I mean.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah, there's a lot going on there too.
I mean, it would almost be nice to just rank the DID methods, like, you know, of the, you know, people out there, you know, if, you know, here's the DID methods that are most used or something like that. And here's the reasons why, pros and cons. And
yeah, that would be very useful.
Yeah. And yeah, so maybe, I mean, maybe this is a better way to connect the community. I hadn't really been coming at it from the trust over IP, you know, layers, but I feel like maybe our work and documenting the pain points and, you know, most used DID methods and things like that, it's probably better in this kind of view. What do you guys think?
I think so. I guess obviously, our students are basically going to be just in layer 2 using peer DIDs or even key DIDs.
Yeah, fair enough.
And they will be done when they've established connections at layer 2 among Picos. Okay. It would be nice if they had time to interoperate. They did spend some time looking at the Aries test harness and didn't get very far. But the task for when they set them wasn't to interoperate with agents with a DIDCOM V2 of any other kind, just among themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. And then, because interoperability is a lot harder.
Yes, it is.
Right. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, we've got about 15 minutes left. I'll definitely send a message to Drummond to track down the start of his diagram. Um
Well, on the you know, the TOIP working group released the final document of the architecture. So I think that is part of that diagram, but it really defines all the details within each layer. Was presented on IIW as well.
Okay, but that didn't show DIDCOM. It wasn't in the context of DIDCOM V2, right?
Well, inside this reference, they define or they tell about DIDCOM V2.
Oh, okay.
That's the worst part, yeah. I think they mentioned DIDCOM V2 as a reference. Also, I think they mentioned Kerry or some AC or Cicelox or some other transport mechanism.
Gotcha. Okay. I will, let's see, you're saying that's the trust over IP, what do they call that, the architecture stack?
Yeah, I think so. Let me find
architecture stack.
Or reference model.
Reference
or reference model. Architecture, something like that.
Oh, maybe that's literally on that page that I was. Model started with a vision. White paper. No, maybe this other page here. Technical architecture.
This one. I got it. It's on the, now it's on the GitHub.
So okay.
That link.
You said GitHub, you meant the, yeah, there we go.
I think this one, I don't know how it renders, but let's check.
Hmm.
Yeah, probably it's rendering somewhere. I don't know how it works.
Okay, and it just links to the spec. Well, okay, we'll find more stuff and try to connect just that point of view, since you know it's gaining a lot of momentum. All right, so that I feel like that was a lot of good discussion. Hakan, is there any kind of updates from your team and the work that you're doing? I love to get back to that. Just because it's, you know, it's rooted in implementation.
So from the implementation point of view, Judith started working on out-of-band protocol message structure fitting for DIDCOM V2 spec.
Okay.
Basically, that's to establish connection and set a V2 flag and the connection ID internally at Akapai. From the point of, I guess some more discussions, strategic discussions. Tomorrow is the ACAPAC meeting, and then we're going to talk about which encryption envelope or message envelope library we want to use for ACAPAI. Like there is one that has been already implemented for ASCAR wallet. There's like a Python library. There's a Rust library to see what the community, at least ACAPAI community, is thinking about using as libraries.
Libraries for encryption, you said.
Yeah, libraries for message envelope.
Okay. And you said ASCAR.
ASCAR, Python implementation, I think it's from Daniel Hartmann, okay. Or Rust implementation.
Okay. Good. I think I'll be able to make it to that, but I'll have to double check. Those have been good meetings. All right, great.
I just post the links to the rendered version, so that the PDF.
Okay, so this is what they presented at IIW.
Right.
At least three digital exchange protocols. Okay. Yeah. We'll try to find that diagram that the Drummond head. All right, cool. I'll put that in the notes as well. And you had one other spec.
I think it's the same in Markdown and PDF. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, good. Okay, anything else? We should maybe talk really quickly about our meetings since we're coming up to the holiday times.
Yeah.
It is the 12th today, so I would think we can probably sneak in one more meeting, and then is everybody okay with us canceling until the new year? Let me just look at the calendar, or if, you know, obviously if people want to meet, they can. Looks like if we waited till,
you say cancel the 26th and the 2nd of January.
Okay. How's everybody feel about that?
Okay. I mean, I'm just taking the Christmas week off, otherwise I'll be available.
Okay. That would, if we took, if we did the 26th and 2nd off, then that would put us back together on the 9th.
Sounds good.
Yeah, good for
okay.
me.
Okay, good. Yep. I think I'll just, I think I can just message the calendar owner and he can, and I'll post that as well in our Discord, which I guess I'll post in the Discord, literally asking him to remove those. Okay, great. Anything else? I mean, I think we covered a lot of ground. I think it would be good to maybe come back. Let's just continue to think of ways of discovering interoperability or implementation of DidCom V2, so that two agents can, you know, kind of negotiate how they're gonna be able to interoperate, and we'll consider the trust over IP stack more, and then obviously we'll be following the pull requests and discussions within the Akapug and the Aries JavaScript meeting, which I haven't been able to attend. There's a customer meeting that's literally right during that. I used to go religiously to the I don't want to call them the AFJ meetings, but the Aries JavaScript meetings. I think, Alex, you were able to attend the last Aries JavaScript meeting, right? Are you there?
Yeah, I usually go to those. Ariel did a demo of his wallet last week.
Oh.
You guys should check out the recording at the very, very end. He had like a similar chat interface to ours. I liked it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I definitely want to see that. Great. Okay. And did also the SICPA folks, were they there? And did they discuss the PR?
Yeah, so there was like a little bit of discussion of like what the timeline of the PR was going to be. It wasn't really a discussion about the PR itself. And unfortunately, Timo wasn't there, so they didn't really go through any code. And they were saying how it might take a couple of months for the code to get merged for the DidCom V2 in AFJ. At least that was kind of like what Mike was saying from Northern Block.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah. Fair enough.
That was kind of like what was said last, but I'm hoping that it's just because of the holidays and whatnot. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'll keep you guys posted.
Gotcha. Hey, we have Dimitri here. Dimitri, you want to say something?
Hey, Dimitri.
You're muted if you're trying to speak. I see your hand up. Still muted if you're trying to speak, Dimitri. Okay, well, yeah, feel free to type, I guess. Okay, let's see, 5 minutes left. We can end now unless anyone else? Dimitri says, hello, hello, and help me. Dimitri, I don't know if I can. Okay, anything else that we want to cover? That's a lot. Okay, very good. It's always great to see you guys. I appreciate this very much. I don't know, I do want to, I haven't had enough time to really solidify kind of the documentation and everything that we've been doing for this, other than what we have in our meeting notes. But I do think, a more solid way to kind of document all of the activities and different pain points is still a big goal of mine. I just haven't had time to really put that together. I think eventually it'll come together, but I think we're capturing a lot of important ideas that will help that. So it's really good. All right. Thank you all. Appreciate you. We'll meet next week.
Thank you. See you next
week. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.